Amen. And thank you for worship and good morning. Welcome to church. We are so blessed, aren't we? With the worship we have, with the sunshine outside, with getting to celebrate the 4th of July and then come into a weekend and start by looking into God's word together. I'm so excited for that and so blessed to get to look into these key scriptures, these verses for life. You know, as we're kind of winding down this series, I thought that as we got to the end of this series, Pastor Dave and I, we'd be getting to verses that are kind of like lame verses, I guess you could say, you know, the leftover ones. But what we're actually getting to is that there's so many deep and rich verses in the Bible and scriptures that you need to know that it's like now we're packing in, we came to the end and we're packing in the ones that we're like, no, we can't live without that one, no, that one. And so I'm excited to dive into God's word, especially as we wrap up this series. And I was thinking about our verse a few weeks ago when I was on vacation. And we were camping, my family and I. We went on vacation with our friends, and we go every year up to Bass Lake with them, and they have this tradition of camping up there. And so we went camping with them this year, and it was an amazing time, a special trip in more ways than one. You know, our kids were up there, and there's probably 15 or 20 kids running around, camping together, having an awesome time. As adults, we were hanging out at the lake up at Bass Lake, and the water was warm, and the sunshine was out, and we even rented a boat, and we're taking them inner skiing and wakeboarding and all kinds of cool stuff. Awesome. Except for one part of our trip. I call this the special part of our trip because we had one special guest on our trip that kind of wrecked all of the fun, kind of ruined the whole trip. And this guest was a 350-pound teenage black bear named, by the park rangers, Honey Boo Boo. And Honey Boo Boo was a relentless bear. The entire trip there, he was a teenager, so it was his first year out on his own, away from his mom, and he had no shame. He would come into our camp day and night, and he would break into the tents. At multiple times, he tore apart different tents of ours, and luckily we had extra tents and shifted people around. There came a certain point at night where he would sniff through everything, and we hid all our food from the bears, but it didn't matter. This guy was getting into anything and everything he could, and the worst part of Honey Boo Boo was the fact that every single day we would come back, and we would come back from the lake, and we would find what trouble he had gotten into. And it's like torn tents and torn things. And then sometimes we would find him in our campground. And I think the worst thing about this bear is he was not afraid of humans at all in any way, shape, or form. It's like we would honk at him. We would, you know, we would honk the bear horns at him. We would honk our car horns at him. We'd bang on pots and pans. We would yell. And this bear was going to do whatever he wanted to do, no matter what we did or tried to do to him. Everything but trying to actually physically get this bear out of here. Kind of like a typical teenager, you know. He's like just day and night, he was looking for food. And he kind of wrecked the trip for us because no matter what we did, it's like every time we had to turn around, it's like there he was, like sneaking into our food. There he was. The kids are screaming over here. And it was like this constant terror. And I thought, you know, as I was thinking about the verse that we're going to get into today, there is nothing worse in life than when something comes along and kind of just has power over you. Something comes along that you can't control and you look at it and you're like, you know what? This would be so much better if it wasn't for that bear. This would be so much better if it wasn't for this thing. And so often as Christians, I think we find ourselves kind of walking our Christian lives, and in some sense, we feel powerless. We look around and we go, you know what? I know what God wants me to be. I know the things I should be doing in life, but then there are these things. Maybe it's my sin. Maybe it's this temptation, maybe it's this problem, maybe it's this, you know, maybe it's this person in my life that, man, if they were just gone, if they were just not a part of my life, then I would be better off. Then I would be, and we end up kind of living our Christian lives in this land of if. If only this was gone, then I'd be better. And I think we have a lot of these types of bears in our lives, and often one of the most frustrating things in life is when you do feel powerless. When you do look at certain things, when you do look at your life and you go, you know what, if the economy was better, if my boss just paid me a little bit more, if that relationship in my life was just a little bit better, then I'd be more of who I'm supposed to be. Then I'd be happier. Then I'd be this person who could do more and be more and say more and all those types of things. And often we find ourselves kind of looking at life and like I did, just going, man, I wish these Honey Boo Boos weren't in the way. I wish these bears or things that had control in my life, well, they weren't controlling me. Well, this morning, we're going to get into a verse where Paul kind of shows us where we actually can take power back, gain control in our lives that we wouldn't have ordinarily if we were trying to do it on our own. So if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians is an amazing book of the Bible. It's one of my favorites, and it's a book where, you know, by and large, I think the simplicity of Ephesians is Paul tells us who we are in Christ in the beginning of the book, and in light of that, he tells us how we should walk and live that out. He's constantly saying, you know, you're going to walk this way. Over in chapter 4, he's been telling the Ephesian church, look, I want you to walk in unity. I don't want you to walk like the Gentiles walk. As he gets into chapter 5, he says, look, I want you to walk in wisdom, walk in love, walk as children of light. And what he kind of does from chapters 4 on through the beginning of chapter 6 is he's telling us all the things we should be walking in and doing in light of the fact that we have Jesus Christ in our life as Christians. But he gets to this point in chapter 6, and this verse that we're about to look at in verse 10 is a key verse, I think, for almost the entire book of Ephesians, because it's like he gets to this point where he said, look, I've told you who you are in Jesus, who you are in Christ, especially in chapter 1. He brings up that term time and time again, in Christ. And then I've told you what you should be in light of that, how you should walk, what you should be as Christians. But I don't want you to go any further than you understand now how you actually live that out. Where you get it, where you get the source, the energy to live that out. And in verse 10, he gives us a key for understanding how we live out our Christian life. He says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's going to go on in a moment after this verse to talk about the spiritual war that we're in and describe what we call the spiritual weapons or the spiritual armor. And he gets into kind of another topic. But really, this verse here is one of the key verses in almost the entire end of this book, because he gets to this part where he says, look, finally. And that word there, finally, in the Greek, it's like it's more like it's less than just saying, finally, this is the end, like, whew, pastor's done, finally. It's, no, the word there, if you were to read it in the original language, it's like, from here on out, or in light of all of this, this is the big thing you need to know. This is what activates everything I've been talking about. This is what it all circles around, and you need to understand. And so he says, finally, but not to wrap it up in the sense of like, now we're done, let me throw in this last point, but finally, in the sense of like, look, in light of hearing all this and knowing who you are in Christ and knowing what you should be in Christ, you need to understand what it takes to be that. And he says, be strong in the Lord. That's an awesome idea. It's a pretty popular idea. We love to think about being strong, and you know, you go to Hobby Lobby and you buy the sign, be strong in the Lord. It's like almost like Christian motivation in some sense. But this verse to Paul was anything other than some, you know, Richard Simmons physical fitness motivational verse for him. He's like, he's looking at us and he's going, no, I'm not just your cheerleader here saying, be strong in the Lord. I'm actually pointing out something incredibly vital for your life and for your walk. That word there, when he says, be strong in the Lord, that word there is dunamis. The word dunamis in the Greek was, you know, we translate our words for dynamic or dynamite from that. It's like this idea that we kind of have of explosive power. You know, you think of 4th of July fireworks, not those wimpy light drone shows, you know, or things like that, but like real fireworks and explosive nature. In some sense, that's the word carries that connotation, that there's something explosive happening. But also, there's another sense of the word dunamis. It means potential. In Latin, we translate it as potentia, and we get our word potential or ability from it. And what Paul is kind of saying here is not just, look, God has something for you that is just explosive in nature, that one moment is here and the next moment is gone, like a fireworks show. He goes, no, there is something that God has for you. There is a strength that God has for you that helps you to be able to be what he wants you to be, to reach your potential. And the way he says it there in the Greek, it's even more impressive. It's a passive imperative, which means like this is something that is done to you by God. But also you come to God and you keep coming to God to have this done to you again and again and again. It's like there is strength that God has for your life that if you weren't going to him, if you weren't allowing him to do this to you, you're not going to be able to live things out the way he wants you to live them out. And Paul would say, look, I know that sounds simple. I know that sounds easy, but this is vital for you to understand. This is crucial for you to understand. The entire walking in your Christian life kind of depends on you being enabled and empowered and reaching your potential based on the strength and power that he gives to you. And there's so many dangers and traps that come with not trying to do it that way. I mean, so often in our world, we're okay with pretending. You know, I noticed this the other day. I went with some of our kids to Universal Studios, and everybody there is dressed up like wizards. And if you ever go to a theme park nowadays, it's like everybody dresses up like characters, right? And it's kind of pretend. You go to Disneyland, and you'll see adults walking around with lightsabers. It used to be kids, but now it's the adults. And, you know, and I'm not making fun of this. I'm just saying everybody's walking around with lightsabers, and everybody's walking around dressed up as princesses, and everybody's just, you know, and in some sense, we're okay with that, and that's fine, but if you look at it, those people that dress up like that, you're never a real Jedi just because you wear a robe one day and you've got a plastic lightsaber hanging out of your pocket. You know, you've got no power. You've got no, like, I mean, I know it's pretend, but let's pretend it's real for a moment. You can't use the Force and you can't use magic and you're not a real princess or a real king because in all reality, whether you dress up that way or not, whether you pretend or not, you don't really have the potential. You don't really have the energy. It's like you can pretend to be that. You can get your behavior together for a moment. You can try to live out the Christian life. You can look like it, wear the clothes, act that way. But at the end of the day, Paul is saying all of us need something more than just to pretend, just to going through the motions. There's real energy and power, and without it, it's nothing. I mean, I almost fell off my ladder yesterday because I was hanging some security lights at my house. And I hung all the, or security cameras, I'm sorry, at my house. And I hung all these cameras, and I got to my final camera, and I hung it, and I pointed it in the right direction. It was, you know, pointed on my driveway. And then I got all my tools, and I got my ladder, and I put everything away. And I go on the little app on my phone, and I'm looking, and I see all my other cameras except this last camera. And I'm like, dang it. I must have messed something up. I hung it. It's looking in the right direction. It's facing the driveway. Like, it should be good. And so I'm like going over and I'm trying to re-add it. And it's not showing up. And finally, I go back out. I get my ladder up. I climb all the way back up. And I look and I go, oh, I never hung power to this camera. I hung it up here. But there's no potential for this camera to even do what it's supposed to do because I never plugged it in. I never had power going to it. And as stupid as I was, it's like another half an hour out in the yard and hanging power and running a line. And I know it was a dumb mistake, but it's like, in some sense, that's kind of what Paul's illustrating for us. He's like, look, I've told you guys about the Christian life. We all know what we're supposed to be in Christ. I mean, I don't need to twist your leg to make you to understand that, look, if you're a follower of Jesus, your life should begin to reflect that and look like that and take on characteristics and be more loving, be more patient, be more gentle, be more kind. It's like, yeah, we get that. We understand that. And that's what Paul's been talking about. How their relationships would work out, husbands and wives, children and parents, slaves and owners and masters. It's like he's talking about all these areas, but he gets to this point and he goes, look, don't try to start this life without understanding one of the most important things about the life that you are supposed to be living in Christ. There is power that God has for you. And if we try to do this in our own power, if we try to do this in our own energy, if we try to just live this out on our own, control life in our own power, he's like, you're going to be fighting battles. You're going to be warring. You're going to be trying to live out this Christian life, and you're going to be facing things that, man, you're never going to overcome and conquer. The bears of your life are always going to have control. They're always going to have power. But Paul's mind here, and this is why this is a key verse, because it unlocks the rest of this passage, which is one of the key passages when we understand the spiritual power that we have in Christ. And it's like Paul's mindset here is, look, you and I and We have power available to us that it keeps us in the game, keeps us standing when we would fall. It's why his next verse here, and I'll just kind of point these out really quickly here, verses 11 through 12, Paul says this. He goes, "Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Paul goes on from this verse, reminding us that we're to go to God for power. He goes on from this verse to say, look, I know that things seem hard. I know that sometimes the Christian walk is difficult. And you ever want to know why it seems like, man, things seem to be going against me. This isn't really easy. Why is this such a battle? Well, here at the end of Ephesians, Paul, he pulls back the curtain to the church at Ephesus and to us as well. And he says, I know you might think your battle is against people. I know you might think your battle is against culture. I know you might think your battle is against everything in this world that's gone wrong. It's against the school system. It's against this candidate or this party or this or that or the other. He pulls back the curtain, and just for a moment, I wish we had hours to dive into this and look into the implications of this, but he says, look, really the nuts and bolts of what he says is in verse 11 and 12, he says, look, your battle isn't even against these things. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There's something out there. There's a real enemy, Satan, whose goal in destruction is just to see you fall. Therefore, he goes, look, whether you realize it or not in this world, there is something far greater that you need when you're facing the things that you face in your life. When you're trying to live out the life that God calls you to live. There's a spiritual drama unfolding. At the same time, I'm experiencing things in flesh and blood, and that is affecting everything I see and I think. And it's like, I know that I kind of get into this habit of just thinking, God, you know what? If you would just fix this in front of me, if you would just take this person out of my life, if you would just make this better over here, if you would just take away this problem, if you would just, and we live in our world just thinking, you know what, God, fix the flesh and blood. Fix the problems that I see in front of me. Fix the things and take away the things I don't like. Help me to just kind of avoid the problems and the difficult things. But the real perspective I want you to see in this is that Paul, well, he looks at us and he goes, look, what's the point of you having the power that God gives you? Well, verse 11, he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, Paul's perspective here, and he could have easily said this, Paul's perspective is not that you would be bailed out of every difficult situation. Paul's perspective is not that as Christians, people would remember our constitutional rights and treat us kindly and gently and fair. Paul's perspective is not, look, hey, pray that every difficult thing that you face, every evil in front of you is gone. It's like, no, you know what Paul's perspective is? You need to go to God for power and strength that you might be able to stand. Not that you might be able to bail, run away, move to Idaho, hide out, get out of this horrible situation. Not that you might be able to cower, to pull yourself away from culture, to get away from all the evil in this world, to run away and hide. Paul's perspective is, no, you, as a Christian, were meant to stand. You, as a Christian, were meant to face trouble. You, as a Christian, were meant to face tribulation and trials and to not cower, to not back down, to not run away, to not hide from that, but to learn to stand even in the face of Satan and his strategies or evil plans against you. You see, so often I think we live our Christian life trying to avoid pain, trying to avoid difficulties, trying to find the easy way out. Praying to God, you know what, God, this hurts. You know what, God, I feel alone. You know what, God, this is difficult. You know what, God, we're way more comfortable with pretending things are okay, with walking into church sometimes, and, you know, we see everyone else, and everyone else looks happy at church. Everyone else looks smiley at church. Everyone else looks good and you know, cleaned up, and we're wearing our Sunday best, and we're all in here, and we're sitting in our seats, and it's like so easy to walk into this room and to be like, you know what, someone asks you how you're doing, and you're like, yeah, I'm great. If I was any better, I'd be you. That's what I always say to people. It's like, you know, I'm doing awesome, but what the reality is deep down inside, I'm hurting. Deep down inside, I'm wondering, how is all this going to work out? Deep down inside, I'm like going, you know what, do these people feel like failures sometimes like me? Do these people wrestle with things like I do? Do these people feel discouraged sometimes like I do? And it's like we can go through this whole Christian motion where we're just pretending sometimes and we're just dressing up like we're at Disneyland and God says, look, that's not how I want you to live this life. That's not who I want you to be. I don't want pretend Christians. I don't want people who are walking in and just pretending to do what they need to do, pretending to be what they need to be, just so that they can get by and everyone else thinks they're okay. Paul looks at the church there and he goes, no, this is so vital for us to understand because, look, the fact of the matter is we're all in a battle. We're all in a war. We're all fighting every single day. And this is never going to be easy because our flesh in and of itself is always going to wrestle against the Spirit. And we're always going to be fighting this battle and struggling. But he goes, look, here's what's important. You understand and you know that you're not overwhelmed by the bears in your life. That you realize that there is very real power that you can tap into, that God has strength and enabling and ability for you to be able to stand in the midst of some really difficult times. And it's so vital. He goes on, and I would encourage you, your homework for the rest of the week is to go on through the rest of this passage and to look at the ways that he shows us that we can draw strength from God. Because so often we come to this passage and we kind of pick it apart. If you're familiar with this passage all the way up until verse 18, it's what we call the spiritual armor of God. And we'll pick things apart. Paul says things like, you've got the belt of truth, and you've got the helmet of salvation, and he says that you've got all these weapons at your disposal, and we pick them apart, and we almost make it systematic in what it's supposed to be. But step back for a moment and kind of look at it in light of our verse. Paul goes, look, you need God's strength and power to live out the life that God has, or that he has for you to live. And you're in a battle. And God's goal is for you to stand. God's goal is not for you to cower, to run away, to pack up your tent and head home early, to look for ways to avoid things. Therefore, you need power. You need strength. And if I'm going to illustrate anything, you know, if God, Paul chooses to illustrate here, he's looking at things and he's going, you know what, here's the state of things. I don't want to illustrate you like a runner who's fleeing the scene. I don't want to illustrate you like a general who's trying to figure and plan things out on their own. You know how I choose to illustrate you? You're like a soldier. You're like a soldier who's got this armor. And this armor and this ability to stand at the end of the day. And every single bit of armor that he's going to list in the next few verses, he says you've got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, praying always in the Spirit. Every single one of those pieces of armor have to do with us going to God for strength. It's like, I'm weak without realizing my salvation. I'm weak without, and he says, the belt of truth, without the truth that I have in Jesus. I'm weak without the righteousness that God has given to me. I'm weak without my feet carrying the gospel with me where I go. I'm weak without my shield of faith. I'm weak. And these are all things and areas. And it's like Paul's kind of picturing us. And he's like, you guys have battles to fight. And you want to know how you move forward in your Christian life. You want to know how you move forward in the person that you are meant to be. Well, come to God with everything in you and put on his strength. Come to God and study his word. Come to God and pray and talk to him. Come to God and remember your salvation. Come to God and remember the righteousness that he's given you. Come to God and don't let any of these things slip because these are ways now that his strength works out in our life. And it's so vital for us to understand because Paul's looking at us and he's going, man, if you haven't realized it, you're in a battle. And so often we're looking at the enemies we face. The troubles that we're so overwhelmed by and we're thinking, you know what? I can't handle that. What am I supposed to do with this person? What am I supposed to do with this government or this school system? What am I supposed to do if this happens and that happens? And you feel so out of control in your life. Well, Paul says, look, you want to know what control you do have? You want to know what power you do have? You have the power and strength and the might of God. But you have to come to him. You have to foster this sense of like, I need your help, Lord. I don't want to run. I don't want to cower. I don't want to avoid things. I don't want to just tap out when it gets difficult. But Lord, I can't do it on my own. You know, when you think you can do things on your own, it's usually when you're about to fail. I mean, our greatest strengths are often our greatest liabilities. And that's usually the fact that we try to do things on our own. We try to control things on our own. We try to, something bad comes along and it's like, where does all the stress and the anxiety and the worry in our lives come from? It comes from us trying to hold on to things. It comes from us trying to figure things out. Oh, I've got this financial problem. Oh, I've got this problem in my family. Oh, I've got these people. I've got this neighbor. I've got this, that, and the other. And all our stress and all our worry in life comes from us trying to go, you know what, God, how do I make this happen? How do I work this out? How do I, well, maybe if I do this and maybe if I do that. And it's like Paul would look at us and he's going, don't you understand? You're just trying to get rid of problems in your life. You're just trying to get rid of difficult things. But in reality, God is with you in those. And if you would come to him and if you would turn to him for power and strength in the midst of those, instead of coming to him and trying to get him to remove every difficult thing from your life, you'd suddenly realize, whoa, I can stand. I can be the person that God has called me to be. I can be the person that he's enabled me to be. He's given me a spirit. He dwells in me. It's like he's given me his very power to live within my life. And it's like, instead of me avoiding the difficulties of life, how about I turn to them and say, you know what, God, how can I stand? How can I keep praying? How can I turn to you and do the things that you tell me at the end of this passage are going to give me strength? How can I worship you? How can I turn to your word, be strengthened by your word, and hear your truth, look at Jesus and see what he's like, and how can I now be enabled by the things that you do give me instead of be weakened by trying to avoid difficult things in my life? So as Paul kind of unfolds this verse here, he tells us to be strong in the Lord. Go to him for strength. Draw your strength from him and keep going to him. And in the power of his might. He's got everything. And far be it from any of us to just pretend or go through the motions, to just come to God and think, you know what, we can command you around like a genie that you'll just do all the things we want you to do. Look, here's life. I've got it figured out, and I want you to do it my way, God. But in reality, what Paul is teaching us here is, look, there's a lot more going on. There's a lot of things behind the scenes, and I know we could get into spiritual, you know, the spiritual nature of our enemy and all these things, but here's the deal. At the end of the day, Satan just wants to see you fall. He wants to see you stumble. He wants to see you cower. He wants to see you turn back in fear. He wants to see you live your life just worrying about who's in charge, who's the president, what's going to happen to you, what's going to happen. He wants to just see you live in this fear. And Paul looks at you and he goes, no. You don't have to live in fear. There is strength available to you. And there is strength that makes a real difference in what is really going on in this world. So come to God. Draw your strength from him. Study his word, as he would say. Go to him and remember your salvation. Think like someone who's saved. Go to him in prayer. It's like every time I do these things, I suddenly realize, oh, man, I've got strength. Oh, man, when I hear God's word and I hear him speak to me, it's like, oh, you know what? I can make it. When I turn to him in prayer, it's not just to force him to do what I want him to do, but it also changes me. And it's like, as I pray for my enemies, as I pray for people that do things in a way that I don't necessarily agree with, it's like all of a sudden I know that I can't necessarily change them. I can't necessarily argue them to death, but I can pray for them. And God changes things. God does things in ways that are far beyond me. And what Paul is saying is, look, you're foolish if you're living your life and you're not tapping into that. If you're trying to be a Christian and you're just trying to figure this out on your own. If you're coming to God and you're telling him how life should be. If you're coming to God and telling him, just remove all these problems from me, if you're coming to God in this state of avoidance, well, you're never going to tap into his power. And for Paul, he goes, look, be strong in the Lord. This is for every single one of us. This power is available through all that God has done for you. And my prayer and my encouragement is to turn to him, to do these things, to look for ways to draw your strength from the Lord and know that he will continue to be your strong tower, as Psalm 46:1 says, and your strength to be everything you need to stand in this world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so very much that you provide strength to us. We are your people and we couldn't do anything if it weren't for you. And Jesus, we are so very thankful that you would be our might and our power, that you would give your life for us, that you would show us that there is something greater for us to live for and to do and to be in this world. And so thank you that you have come and you have laid down your life for us and you have provided a way for us to experience power to live that we could never muster or foster on our own. Lord, thank you that you are our strength and our power. Help us to continue to come to you and to draw from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well,